for the last, I think, 2 years, we have been gathering here in the closing minutes of the dying year and the opening minutes of the new year around the Lord's table. And I have been so pleased with this arrangement. It's really the way that one of our speakers has already said, that I like to spend the last hours of the old year and the new moments of the new year worshiping the Lord with my family in Christ. And I gave some thought to a message, a brief message to present to you concerning the meaning of the Lord's table. And I'm going to ask you to turn to a rather unusual passage of Scripture. I've never used it in this regard before, but now that I'm going to, I wonder why I haven't. 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Now verse 1 begins in this fashion. Now these be the last words of David. I've tried in my mind to recreate this scene. Jerusalem is under, probably late in the evening. These things just seem to take place late in the evening. And Jerusalem is under heavy, heavy mourning. Their king is dying. The word is spread throughout the city. No one is asleep. People are convening in the streets, in the doors of their homes, in their living rooms. All around the palace, standing multitudes outside the palace, waiting for a word. Messengers are going in and out, in and out. People are all over the palace. And then we go upstairs to the king's bedchamber. And there the people are gathered about his bed, the physicians and the captains and the generals and those who have served the king, some of them for many years. And they're just standing quietly around. I've kept that vigil before, some of you have, waiting for someone to die. And on the mind, I imagine, of every person there is usually what's on my mind when I stand in a room where someone's dying. What is that person's hope? What is that person's relationship with God? In just a few moments, that one will be gone, and where will he awaken? And then another thing that's on my mind is, what will be his last words that he speaks, the very last thing he says? Everybody doesn't get to speak last words. Some people are killed instantaneously. Some die of heart attack. Some die under sedation. But David had an opportunity to speak. And with the rest of those people assembled about his bed on that eventful night, in that eventful hour, we're going to hear exactly what David has to say before he dies. These are the last words of David. And it says, David, we're talking about the son of Jesse. You know what I thought about when I read that? I turned the clock back. I went way many, many, many years before, Bob, when the great prophet Samuel went down to the home of Jesse to anoint a king. And Jesse had all his mighty, powerful, handsome sons decked out in their finery. And he sent that lad out there to the hillside to watch the sheep because he didn't think God had any use for that boy. And Roger, God passed by every one of them and said, go get David. And when he walked in the door, that David was thinking about that as he lay there on that bed dying. His mind went back to that day he stood in the door. And Samuel said, God's anointed is before him. God chose him. Men didn't choose him. God chose him. Men didn't recognize God's hand on him. And they usually don't. For he had chosen the foolish things of this world and the despised things of this world, the things that are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glow in his presence. And David walked in that day and knelt. And that old prophet poured the oil of God on his head and made him king of Israel. That's who we're talking about here. David, the son of Jesse, the man who was raised on high. Who raised him? God raised him. God raised him. God indeed gifted him. How he gifted that man, how he blessed that man, and how he blessed other men because of that man. God had his hand on David. He raised him on high, made him king of Israel, made him the most powerful man in all the world. God put him there. See, God raises men up and puts them down. God raises up kings and seats them. God Almighty raises the poor from the dunghill and the beggar from the dunghill, makes them sit among princes. He maketh poor and he maketh rich. God does it. God does it. And he says here, who was this man about to speak? He's the anointed of the God of Jacob. The anointed of the God of Jacob. God called him, and I'm sure he recalled this, a man after my own heart. David's heart beat with God. David's heart beat with God. With God's heart. He's like Peter. Peter said, you know I love you. You know you reign in my heart. David was a man after God's own heart. He was anointed by the God of Jacob. You know who the God of Jacob is? He's the God of divine election. That's who he is. Jacob have a love, and Esau have a hate. That's what God said. Who's the God of Jacob? He's the God of divine revelation. He's the one that revealed himself to Jacob. Jacob wasn't seeking the Lord. The Lord was seeking Jacob. And he showed him the way to heaven. Who is the God of Jacob? He's the God of a changed name. He said, what's your name? Jacob said, chief. Jacob. God said, you're not Jacob anymore. You're Israel, prince of God. Who is the God of Jacob? He's the God of unchanging promises. He said, I am the God of Jacob. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not concerned. That's his name. That's his name. David, son of Jesse. David, man raised on high. David, anointed of the God of Jacob. And David was the sweet psalmist of Israel. Better pay attention to what he's saying. Because he said in verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me. We're about to hear from a man through whom God spake. We're about to hear from a man who wrote Scripture. This man was used of God with other holy men to write the Word of God Almighty. Do you understand what I'm saying? This man. The Spirit of God spake by me. He said, verse 3, the God of Israel said to me. The Rock of Israel, Jesus Christ, spake to me. He's the Rock, isn't he? He said these things. Spirit of God. Whatever he says now, listen. Listen. Whatever are his last words are divinely inspired. God speaking. What shall he say? What will he say? What is his relationship with God? Is he afraid? Is he in doubt? Has he been on the wrong road? Does he have reservations? What is his hope? His relationship with God. Wait. He said in verse 5, these are the last words now of David. The journey's end is here. From the house of Jesse to the cave, to the mountains, to running from Saul, to the palace, in exile, back to the palace, to the mighty victory, to the times of great trial, back up to the victory, and I died. And he says, although my house be not so with God, although my house be not so with God, what's he talking about? Well, his children had literally broken his heart. Amnon, remember, raped his own sister. And his brother killed him in cold blood. And then his son Absalom. Oh, when Absalom died, David said, would God I'd have died for him. That's how much he loved him. He loved him so much, Joab rebuked him. Oh, God, I wish I'd have died instead of him. But he died trying to take the kingdom away from his daddy. God killed him. And he lay there and said, he said, although my house be not so with God. And I'm sure he was not only thinking about his children, he was thinking about his friend, Ziba. You remember? He put Ziba in charge of Mephibosheth. And old Ziba crossed him up, lied to him like a dog. Abner, Joab, trusted generals. I'm sure David thought about his whole household, his friends and servants. He thought about his kingdom. And you know, he says it in this way, although my house be not so with God, it's in God's capable, sovereign hands. I can't do anything about it, Bob. Russell Kenton. Can't do anything with that. Salvation's still of the Lord, whether it's your kid or mine. Salvation's still of the Lord, whether it's your friend or mine. And that's what he's saying. Although my house be not so with God, yet, but God, that's what he's saying. We were children of wrath, even as others. Walking according to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Not we loved him, he loved us. Had quickened us together with Christ and raised us up and made us sit together in the heavenly places. But God, yet, although my house be not so with God, yet he of his own will, by his own decree, according to his own purpose, he, from all eternity, has made with me an everlasting covenant. An everlasting covenant. What is this everlasting covenant? Don't you turn, let me just read it to you. Over here in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, it says, by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. This man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And this is the covenant that I will make with them, saith the Lord, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That's the covenant. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the what? Everlasting covenant. You know what David's talking about on his deathbed? As David lies there in probably a haze over his eyes and a death rattle in his throat and his breath coming shorter, thinking about leaving this earth and going to meet a holy God, he says in his last utterance, although it be not so with my house, yet God hath made with me an everlasting covenant. A covenant. A covenant of blood. A covenant of sacrifice. A covenant of substitution. A covenant of redemption. A covenant of righteousness. A covenant of sanctification. A covenant through the sacrifice of another. That's the covenant. This is what David was looking at when he was talking about this. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ in the stead, place, and room of his people. What you preach. Yeah, last word. This is David. This is the man after God's heart. This is the sweet psalmist of Israel. This is the man exalted on high. This is the anointed of the God of Jacob. This is the man to whom we should listen and hearken because God speaks through him. This man's hope is the same as my hope. The blood of Christ. I want to die like that. I want to die like that. And he says this covenant is ordered. What does that word ordered mean? That word ordered means arranged. Arranged. And furnished. In all things. There's nothing for me to add to it. There's nothing for me to do. There's nothing for me to contribute. There's nothing for me to continue. There's no payment for me to make. There's no work for me to do. It's ordered in everything. You know, I thought while David was reading that, no. Somebody a moment ago was reading John 21. David was. John 21. When Christ stood there, I was in the study. Bob was reading. And Christ, they were fishing out there. And he called them in. And they rode the shore. You know what was on the fire? Fish and bread. He prepared the whole meal. He said, come and dine. Don't you bring nothing. He said, where'd he get the fish? That ain't none of my business. It was on the fire. Where'd he get the bread? That's his business. It was on the fire. He said, you come sit down and eat. And that's what he said here. It's ordered in all things, and it's sure. The foundation of God is sure. Sure, sure. It's of grace that it might be sure, he said. It's sure. You know what this man says as he dies? These are the last words. This is it. And this is all my salvation. Yeah, but what about your profession? This covenant is my salvation. Yeah, but what about your preaching? Covenant's my salvation. But what about your gifts? David, you served, you labored, you led the armies, you went into battle, you fought, you drew your sword for the honor of God. This is all my salvation. I face God just like any other thief. That's right. This is my salvation. The body and blood of the Son of God. The person and work of Jesus Christ. This is all my salvation. And furthermore, listen, and it's all I desire. I have no ambitions in any other area. I have no thoughts in any other direction. This is all my desire. This is all my desire. I don't care to look into any other area, for this is sufficient. No need for me. You say, don't you want to hear what others have to say? When I hear God, I don't want to hear what others have to say. Don't you want another opinion? It's no good. Your thoughts are not his thoughts. Your ways are not his ways. David said, this is it. This is it. Are you listening? This is all my salvation. He, although it be not so, all around me, but he made with me covenant. This is all my salvation, all my desire. And I looked at this last statement before he closed his eyes and went to be with God. although he make it not to grow. Although by appearance it doesn't seem to be much. See, what you see here is not what's really here. David was lying there, old and wrinkled, and pale, and dying, and gasping for breath, and weak, and frail, and just about ready to pass over. And he says, what you see here is not what's here. You're looking at corruption. It shall be raised in incorruption. You're looking here at dishonor. Oh, I've dishonored God so many times. But he's going to raise me in glory. What you see is weakness, human weakness, fleshly weakness, the stains and marks and results of sin. I'll be raised in power. What you see is natural flesh. I'll be raised a spiritual body like his. So don't you judge my expectation by my appearance. It's not worthy to be compared. He's not going to show me off on this world, earth. He's going to show me off in glory. This is not the time for him to show me off. He's going to do that when he makes me like Christ. And then they won't be looking at me. They'll be looking at Christ. Because we're trophies of his grace. 6 more minutes. This year's gone. And like the dying words of David, these be my last words in 1988. My salvation and my desire is in the covenant, and I'm not ashamed of that word, in the covenant, electing, sufficient, particular, peculiar, redeeming love of Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. And my first words in 1989 will be, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.